Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So this is the seventh Sunday in the season of Epiphany. And remember what we talked about with Epiphany. It's about Jesus, God in Jesus, being made known to the world, God being made known to us. And it's our time to understand who Jesus is as God with us and what Jesus is all about. Now, that first week, if you remember, and I know I keep repeating this all the time, but I want you to remember this. We focused on Jesus' baptism, and we heard those words that God said to Jesus and that we hear for us also today. You are my beloved child. And then the second and the third week in the season of Epiphany, we heard the call stories, right? We heard how Jesus went and called the early disciples. And we learned that we, you and I, are called. We're called to be followers, to be learners of Jesus. And then the fourth Sunday, remember, we heard the beginnings of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the blessings. As those blessings were poured out upon the disciples and those gathered with Jesus on the mountain. And we heard that you also and I together, we are blessed. And then we heard the definition of discipleship, right? What does this mean? We heard that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That was the fifth Sunday. And last Sunday, we started to hear about the life-giving law, what I call the human family operating rules for the community. And that we heard that Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it. And we learned about how the law goes deeper. And we learned about inside-out living, that our lives are to be lived from the inside out, that our words matter, that our thoughts matter, because that's what leads to action. So here we are on this seventh Sunday. Not an easy gospel reading now, was it? No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I heard some chuckles while I was reading it, because we recognize the truth of this. But I want you to do something now. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine something. I think you remember this week there were a lot of brush fires that were going on. So I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to see that brush fire. Big brush fire out there. And that brush fire is hurting your eyes because the smoke is getting into your eyes and burning your eyes. Even when you close your eyes, it still hurts. The smoke from that fire is choking you out, and it's really hard for you to breathe. As you get closer to that fire, you can feel the heat and that burning sensation on your skin. And you know that that fire is becoming all-consuming and destroying of its subject, the plants, the trees, any life that's there, the grass. Now I want you to imagine that you're hearing the fire engines coming, and that the firemen are all in their gear, and they're hooking up their hoses to their fire truck. And they're all getting ready, and they're holding the hose, and they're all holding it, you know, in position. And they say, okay, let it go. And all of a sudden, what comes flying out of that hose are bursts of fire. Bursts of fire being poured on to the fire. Fireballs. More destruction. More death. More pain. Harder to breathe. Burning our eyes. We don't fight fire with fire. We fight fire with water. I want you to imagine a second truck comes pulling up. Those firemen jump out, tell the other firemen to cut it out. And they use their hoses, and everyone along is holding on to that hose. And they say, okay, let it go. And the valves open, and out comes water. Water that stops the destruction. Water that stops the pain, that stops the burning in our eyes. Water that gives life to the destruction of the subjects, the trees, the plants, and the grass. Water that gives life. Now I invite you to open your eyes. You see, it makes no sense in that first visual for us to pour more fire on a fire, more pain and destruction on something that's already painful and destroying. Yet you know something? That's what our world says that we should be doing. Hit back. Take someone to court, sue them for everything they've got. Well, I'm going to countersue you for everything you've got. That's fire on fire. Retaliation that fans the flames of hurt. It continues to destroy and to eat up the subjects. And in our world, those subjects are us. They are you. They are me. They are us. So Jesus is calling us into a brand new way of being. He says, no retaliation. He says, I want you to behave in a non-violent way. And it makes sense, doesn't it? But oh my gosh, how hard is that to do? It is really tough stuff. But that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be doing it. The most important thing for us to remember is that doing nonviolence, being nonviolent, and behaving and acting and loving our enemies and praying for our enemies doesn't get us any further up the ladder to Jesus, because God came down and is with us. And it also doesn't give license for you to take abuse. We talked this morning with the kids about walking away. But what it does tell us is who we are. We are subjects, like the trees and the plants and the shrubs. More importantly, we're kingdom subjects. Did you hear that in the reading this morning? We are kingdom subjects. We are subjects of God's kingdom. We are people of God's kingdom. We are people of God's kingdom of heaven here on earth. Now, we may argue with Jesus and say, you know what? Jesus, you have no idea what our world is like today and what we're up against. And Jesus would say, really? Have you looked at the first century and what was going on? The people were under tremendous oppression. The soldiers would tease, pick fights, and do things just for the sake of riling someone up so they'd strike them back and then they would have reason to kill them. The temple was destroyed, but it's not just the temple being destroyed in Jerusalem. Thousands of Jewish people were massacred. And yet, this is what Jesus tells them. We are to love and pray for our enemies. Why does Jesus say that when it's so hard to do? Because it's what the kingdom of heaven looks like. We are getting a view of the kingdom of heaven today. There's no enemies. There's no hate. There's no divisiveness. There's no walls. There's no exclusion. There's no retaliation. There's nothing but reconciliation and love. God to us. God to others. Us to others. That's what the kingdom of heaven looks like. Nothing but generosity and mercy. So as people of the risen Christ, who is reconciled to God. We are called to participate in that now, that kingdom that will come, that kingdom of which we only have a glimpse of now. We are called to participate in that kingdom. Are we going to get it right all the time? My goodness, no. But does that mean that we don't start? Of course not. We do start. And we start with the small things. Perhaps we start with family members or friends. We cross the divide. We stop the hitting. We stop the words. And we start the reconciliation. But in order to do this, you have to remember who you are. In order for me to do this, I have to remember who I am. Together, we have to remember who we are. And this is who you are. You are a beloved child of God. You are called disciples. You are blessed. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are inside out livers, which gives life to God's law. You are kingdom subjects. You are kingdom people in and through the death and resurrection of Jesus. So you and I together, we are God created. We are generous. We are gracious kingdom people because of who our Creator God is, because of the death and resurrection and Jesus Christ, and because the Holy Spirit empowers us to be this. We have a Creator God, a Christ in Jesus, and a Holy Spirit who is first and foremost generous and gracious to us. And that's what allows us to go and do the same. Amen.